Yeah. So you're cranking out kids at 800. So you're having a baby when you're 800 or whatever, right? Well, here is.
When you have, if you have like God's perfect number is 7. So if you have 7 at a time.
7 at a time. And for 800 years, boom.
So what do you think
India.
About the possibility of Adam being the first Homo sapien, and there's Neanderthal being the other people who could have fit, and we know for a fact Homo sapiens and Neanderthal did breed together.
Yeah, I like this idea, but I like the spiritual version. But the science version is the like if I was just a complete psycho scientist guy and I was reading this and it was 100% true and I was 100% scientist with a 10 PhDs and I read this as 100% true, then I got all these things I can bring to the table. And one of those things is that idea. If the people that are created in Eden, Adam and Eve and then their kids, are special in some way, let's say that it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and let's say that that represents knowledge. So they're smarter and more powerful. Let's say Cain's prowess when he went to this place wasn't in his strength or magical powers or whatever. It was in his knowledge, that he had knowledge, right? And we get evidence of that because it says that there's kids that are the people that create music, and there's kids that are the people that, you know, are creating these implements like how to deal with bronze and copper and stuff, right? It says that. So this could be knowledge-based, and in a scientific world, that could be an evolutionary step, right? That could be Homo sapiens. And then all the people out there could be Homo, you know, erectus or cavemen or whatever you want to call it, Neanderthal men. And they go out there. What happens when a Homo sapien with tools and knowledge of fire and all these other things comes into a Neanderthal world? He takes over. Is that what Cain did? I don't know. We're in Spielberg land. But that's still kind of cool, right? That's a kind of a cool idea. But I tell you one thing. Something crazy is going on because these guys are living for a long, long time. Now, here's a piece of information. We have a lot of archaeological and historical evidence from all these surrounding cultures, Sumeria, Babylonia, Akkadia, etc. And in these worlds, they have leaders. And these leaders and kings have records. And record is kept of these kings. And all these people from this time frame are living roughly the same ages that we live, give or take. Some shorter, some about the same. But nobody's living 8 or 9. There's no Sumerian king or Babylonian king that lives 800 years at this time. If we're going to count back from a flood, and we're going to believe that the flood is marked in the geological record. Now, you don't have to believe any of that. But if we're going to believe that, and we're going to count back to, say, 4,000, 5,000 B.C., we're going to have other cultures. And in those other cultures, Egyptian, Sumerian, etc., we're going to find a record of their kings, and their kings are going to live like our lifespans. So if that's all true, then that means these people are special. And I would argue that what's about to happen before Noah with the Nephilim is proof that special, crazy, powerful people on the planet can exist. There were giants in those days. What does that even mean? Does it mean people? Does it mean dinosaurs? Does it mean giants like giant people? What does it mean? You know, so that we have lots of questions. But if you got people living hundreds of years, what happens if you live 800 or 900 years? Okay.
Just a note. Back in the late 60s, I was in Westwood, California, in a bookstore. And I was browsing, and I turned around, and I was looking at a guy's belt buckle. And I looked up, and it was the whale Sindor. And to me, he was a giant.
Yeah, he is a giant.
For what it's worth,
yeah,
I saw a giant.
Well, we had Andre the Giant from Marl Nat C. Bobby. But I don't know. I don't know what to say. Here's what I do know. If we have a type of human that's in any way related to us, in the way we live, that's healthy for 800 or 900 years, okay? If that person were to exist, that would be a godlike person. That would be a super person. The amount of knowledge and power you could put together in 800 years is not something we can figure out. I mean, just imagine. So I've been studying stuff, and I have certain knowledge of things, right? So Randy's been studying. He has knowledge of the law or whatever. You know, everybody's got this knowledge of things. Bobby knows how to do plumbing now, okay? Well, imagine if you had 800 years to amass knowledge, the kind of things you would come up with and how special they would be. We know throughout history that innovation changed the world. I'll give you an example. Two times in the history of England, an innovation changed everything. So British, for instance, English cavalry was very, very dangerous and scary. These horses going to run down on you and run you over. Until a certain individual innovates very, very long spears that they can plant in the ground and anchor, and now the horses and the guys run into spears way out there. Right? Or the idea of bows, shooting arrows for a long distance, or guns and gunpowder, or whatever, or the phalanx system that made Alexander the Great and Rome so great. You know, the Spartan ability to lock shields. This is all guys coming up with ideas. But if you've got a guy who lives 800 years, what are the ideas? What's the knowledge level? You would have to call them some type of like demigod, some type of super person of some kind, just based on age. Unless they just get to be like 50 and then they just, nothing happens after that. Which is how I kind of feel. No, I'm just kidding. But if you like, it like locks down and you like get dumber or something. I don't know what happens. I don't know. But if you're going to live 800, 900 years and you're going to be healthy and having kids, and you're going to have a lot of kids, first of all, that's crazy. We don't have any idea about the biology or the aging system of somebody that lives 800 or 900 years. We know what happens to us and how we age and how that affects us. You know, lowering testosterone, losing hair, whatever it is. We know all these things that happen to us. When did that happen to them? Did that happen to them at 50 or 60 and then you spend 700 years like a really old guy? I don't think so. I think maybe you don't start losing your hair till you're 700, right? Or in my case, 650. Okay. The point is, that's going to give a huge amount of power. Because if we believe that this is in the physical world, and I said you don't have to, you can believe this is some kind of metaphor story in early Genesis. But if you believe this is real, and these are real people, and they're really living that long, then that alone is something special. How do you live 800 years in an ancient world? I'm going to go, once again, I'm going to head towards Spielberg. I'm going to put that little alien in my bag, in my basket, and I'm going to fly across the moon for a minute. Okay, on my bike. Okay? Okay? Go with me on this. How do you live 800 or 900 years in the ancient world? Remember all the wild animals? Remember all the bizarre diseases? Remember all the weird crap that happens to people? Why do the people that live in 1900 not have the same lifespan as people that live in 2000? It doesn't have to do with them living the same amount of time. It has to do with the fact that so many people died of so many things early. There's so many problems. Starvation, wild animal attack, war, etc. Something's going to kill you. We're lucky to get through 100 years without something killing us. Cancer or a car or a stray bullet or whatever, we're lucky to get through 100 years without something killing us. How do you get through 800 years without something killing you?
Lucky.
Really? Over and over again, all of them are lucky, right?
Well, how long was a year?
Right, well, we're going to assume that we're now into the world that we're living in, basically. Let's just assume that this is the current world. Okay, because we're going to have a lineage that leads to Noah and a lineage that leads to Abraham. So we're not going back a million years. We're only going back a few thousand. So let's assume it's very similar to the modern world. Well, that's true, though. I mean, it could be something messed up about the years. But if we're assuming it's something like the world we're living in now, and we're assuming that Sumerians and Egyptians and people exist, because Abraham's going to go over there, right? They're going to have a whole Egypt ready to go when Abraham arrives. It's not like he had a cousin that founded Egypt. It's going to be there, right? Well, if that's true, if that's all true, and keep in mind that I have to believe in the science of age calculation as well. And I need that because a lot of biblical support, such as Joseph's tomb or the evidence of where the Israelites were camped or whatever, or the discovery of something like, something that Joshua, like Jericho. This stuff gets aged by scientists. They use techniques to age it. I have to believe in that because I want that support, right? I believe in this giant field of science that thousands of people are in involving aging things. And if I believe in that, and they have evidence of things such as Sumerian writings that would predate this, then I can believe in that if I want to, right? I can believe in that. And if I do, I see all these other cultures around these guys. But when I look into those cultures and study Babylonian culture, Sumerian culture, pre-Mesopotamian, pre-Babylonian culture, pre-Elamite culture, early Sumerian culture, we're talking 4,000 or 5,000 BC-ish. So this time frame, they've got records of people living, and those people aren't living 800 years. So it's not all of humanity. This is another piece of support for number two. Our second theory that this is isolated, that these are the people of God or these are special people in some way and they're not all people. Another piece of support for that is how long these people are living. Because it's other people around them in a similar time frame that are living similar ages to us. So it would appear that these 800-year, 900-year people, over and over and over and over again, that that's really part of who they are. That Adam and Eve are in Eden, and that they leave Eden and have Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel, and that they have Seth, and that these people live 900 years. And they came out of Eden, which was this place with a tree of good and evil and a tree of life. And they had a spring there that fed those trees that they drank from. Those people were meant to be living forever and get no diseases and never die. And then they sinned and fell. But that creation of who they were as special people is being passed down. Now, if that's true, then it means that there's a reason that the Bible is tracking all these regions and who's in charge. Because they would be in charge. When Cain shows up in Elam and there's a bunch of Neanderthals or early pre-Elamite people and he is going to live 800 or 900 years and he's special. I would argue that the way you live 800 or 900 years in the prehistoric world or in the, basically the beginning of the historic world, the way you would live is you can't be killed as easy as normal people. If you walk down the street and a cart hits you, it doesn't do the same damage. Now, I told you, I'm working with Spielberg on this movie. But the bottom line is, how do all these people live 800 or 900 years? In a world full of random vipers and crazy enemy tribes and falling rocks, how do they live this long when everyone around them is dying for lucky to get 50 years out of the deal? I would argue that something is special. I don't have evidence that's exact, except their ages. But I would argue that something's special about them. If we agree, if we say that, let's say, okay, I think Adam and Eve are special. Therefore, Cain is probably special. And therefore, Seth is probably special. And their kids are probably special. It'll wind down as they interbreed with other tribes that aren't special, it'll begin to wind down to 100 years, right? That makes sense. But they're special. And if we argue that that specialness contains some form of toughness that makes them live longer, immunity to disease, I don't know. Immunity to arrows, I don't know. Maybe you shoot Cain with an arrow and he's like, what, bro? Everyone else dies, and he's like, maybe he's like Wolverine. Without the metal, they don't have adamantium yet. They haven't discovered that until the jungle. Anyway, that's another story. That's an entirely different deal. Anyway, my point is that if you got all these people living all this time, that at the very least, they're going to have an insane amount of knowledge and power. Because you have 800 years to accumulate wealth. You have 800 years to accumulate knowledge. You have 800 years to accumulate children. And you know, farmers used to run their farm based on having a bunch of kids that could run the farm. If you could have 800 kids, you could run an area, a region, a city, a country, right? Just imagine if you lived 800 years and you had 500 kids and they all had 500 kids because they all lived several hundred years longer than normal or whatever. It would be tens of thousands of people very quickly, all of whom came from this one guy, and they could have other wives from other tribes, so the genetic part could work either way, right? But the bottom line is, you're going to have a 10,000 person army that's all your kids and grandkids and great grandkids before very long. Who's going to do anything about that? Nobody. So there's the reason for this power. So if you say, oh, Noah had so and so kid and he went into this region and that region is named after that kid, there may be a reason. That kid may live 500 years and that kid may have lineage all the way back to Adam, and he may be special. He may be a more powerful, more intelligent person of some kind. Now, I don't know what that looks like, okay? All I know is that we've got evidence that these guys are living extreme amounts of time, that they're in a world that we have other cultural evidence for, and those people were not. So something is going on. Yes, sir?
I just want to show this one part. We were talking about animals and how long they lived, you know, you were talking about... And how they could live 800 years without being killed, you know. In chapter 9, getting ahead a little bit, it kind of explains that. It says, God said to Noah and his son, be fruitful and multiply. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, and everything that moves on the earth and in all fish of the sea. In your hand they are given. In the commentary it says, lest Noah be afraid that the few surviving people would be in constant danger from hordes of animals in the world, God assured him that he had implanted in animals an instinctive fear of human beings. And you think about that when you go out in your backyard and you go up to a bird and it immediately flies away, or you walk up to a squirrel and he runs the other way. You walk up to a deer and he runs the other way. It's an instinctive fear put yeah. into these animals. That's one explanation.
This is great. Okay, now imagine this. Imagine that something about these people seems special to animals or to other... But imagine that, going back to Randy's thing, remember how we talked about this totally insane idea that there were two types of humans, right? One evolved from evolution, and the other one was made by God from the ground, Adam and Eve. And when they went out into the world and they had a whole different deal, right? They're living 800 years, 900 years. They're taking over areas and they begin to interbreed, which creates modern humans. That concept, even though that's very Spielberg, that concept would back this idea up, because if there was a bunch of people out there that had kind of come up through evolution to be, you know, like a different type of man, like, you know, cavemen or whatever, and they were animalistic in their nature, they might have built in this fear of these God men, the people of God or whatever, right? So that's going forward to Noah, and that's complete, you know, speculation. But the idea is that could be why. They could literally have something like a God aura to them, right? Something about them could appear unique. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe that has to do with that mark, or maybe it just has to do with coming from the line of Adam and Eve out of Eden. I don't know. Or maybe it just has to do with your age and all the knowledge and power you can put together in that many hundreds of years. But these people cannot be considered to be normal human beings. They may be human beings, but they can't be considered to be normal human beings. Something about them is special, right? And even if you just say, okay, well, that's just being a son of Adam and it's just the age, being so unusual. Even that's enough. Imagine the wealth and power you can put together in 800 years. You know, you're going to not be normal. So as we go forward, we get to the lineage of Adam through Seth. Adam's going to live 930 years. He's going to have lots of kids, but Seth's going to have Enosh, and then he's going to have more sons and daughters, and then Enosh is going to have Canaan, and he's going to live another 815 years after that, and all the days of Enosh are 905, and Canaan's got 70, then he has Mahalalel, and then he begot, and then he lives another 840 years, so he's 910. All these ages are very similar for all these people, right? They're all 900 and change, right? It's very specific. To me, that's interesting because it seems almost like genetic. Like you had somebody that's a really bright ginger, and they have a kid who's a really bright ginger. And they have a kid who's a really bright ginger. It seems almost like genetic to me because these are 900 and change, 900 and change, 900 and change, 900 and change, right? It's like it's part of who they are. It's part of their genetics or whoever, whatever, however you want to do it. It's part of who they are. It's going to start to reel itself in eventually, but not yet. Enoch is going to live 65 years and have Methuselah. And that's who we all heard about in kindergarten. And Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch are 365, right? But that's not because he died. Enoch, God takes Enoch up at 300 and change. That doesn't mean he wasn't about to live 900 and something. He probably was about to live 900 and something. Methuselah lives 187 and has Lamech, and he has Lamech and lives for 782 more years, so the total days of Methuselah are 969. Again, nine would change, and he dies. And it keeps going. Lamech lives 181 years, has a son. He calls his son Noah. Okay, and he says, this one will comfort us in our work in the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, had sons and daughters. The days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. It's the first time someone lives less than 900 and change is Noah's father. And he lives 777. Does anybody who was here for Revelation want to tell me why Noah's father lived 777 years?
The word seven, the number seven means completion.
Yeah, this is the completion of everything prior to Noah. Noah's father, Noah's going to be 500 when he has Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And he's going to be 600 with the flood. And his father is going to live 595 years after he gives birth to Noah. What does that mean? That means that Noah's dad is going to die 5 years before the flood. Okay? So Noah's dad's going to die right before the flood. He is the completion of everything before the flood. He is a triple seven. Right? He's the Trinity of completion. He's the end of everything before. And we need an end of everything before, because everything before is haywire. Haywire. We're going to pick this up. It's 8, so we're going to pick this up later. But I want you to camp out for now. What day is it? It's the 21st. So we have another one, 28th, right? The last day of the month. We have one more, and then we have the 7th or whatever is fusion. So we have one more, okay, before we have the fusion break. And I need you guys to look at the beginning of Genesis 6 very carefully and get ready for the crazy train, because it is very clear what it says, and it is insane. Okay? And God's talking to himself about it. He's talking about his spirit shall not strive with man forever. For man is flesh. He's going to limit his number to 120 years. We're supposed to live 120, but you know, we've got, you know, cars and, you know, cheeseburgers, so we're lucky to get to 100, okay? There were giants on the earth in those days and afterward, and the sons of God came with the daughters of men, and it is wicked, crazy madhouse at the beginning of Genesis 6. This is right before the flood, so I'm going to leave you with this thought. In Eden, God walked with Adam. And Adam and Eve and God hung out, and it was all good. They were made to be immortal. They left. Some craziness kept happening, whatever it looks like, because their sons are all, their kids are all living to be 900 and change, okay, for 10 generations. So that's crazy. Okay, that's just crazy. But, okay, all right. So that's, we're getting close to 1,000 years, that, you know, or whatever. That makes, that all makes sense. In our time frame, it even makes sense, okay? Now, there's going to be a flood, all right? And the flood's going to fix the problem. We're going to get on this, we're going to talk about the specifics of that flood, probably the class after fusion, but maybe next time. We're going to talk about the specifics of the flood. But it gets really, really bad. The reason for the flood is how bad it gets. And the reason it gets so bad is there's really not a plan, okay? God's not learning anything, but here's kind of what happens. Mankind without a plan is a bad deal. It's sort of like that old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? That old saying. If you're sitting around and you don't have anything to do, things start to go awry, okay? You know, bad things happen when there's no plan. When you got a mission, you have a plan you're doing, you're on that plan. But we had a plan. People were supposed to live forever, no death. They're supposed to hang out with God and eat. It was going to be awesome. We had a plan. That plan's gone. We have these people of God that are trying to establish something that matters, and they're doing a pretty good job, but people are going off to other places, people are intermarrying, and there's people that are introducing idolatry, and all the cultures around them are idolatrous. Now, you can look at that as those children from this line created all this idolatrous culture, because there's plenty of time to do that, or you can have them going out into the idolatrous cultures and adopting their idols and their ideas, and some of those kids are doing that, okay? But it gets worse and worse, and it gets to the point where this beginning of chapter 6 is possible. And what that looks like is very scary, okay? It's the end of a world without a plan to deal with God, to connect with God. After this, Noah's going to have kids. Noah's going to have this new place to deal with, and we're going to quickly get into a position where we're going to have a plan. There's going to be people dealing with God and worshiping God and calling out to God, and it's going to be close, and then we're going to reach Abram, and there's going to be a specific plan, and there's going to start to be a thing that Pastor Todd talks about a lot. Right? He talks about this idea of a covenant a lot. And the reason is, it's the covenants that start to save mankind, basically, right? There's an original Adam covenant where they're supposed to do this thing. The covenant is simple. It's not formalized like future covenants, right? But it's a simple covenant. You can have everything. You can live forever. Everything's going to be cool. Just don't eat that one tree. Now you broke the covenant. Now you're messed up. There's going to be a Noah covenant, and that's going to be, here's the new world, here's what you're going to do with it. I'm going to give you a rainbow to make sure you know that there's not going to be another flood like this. Then there's going to be an Abrahamic covenant, which is going to solidify it until we get the Mosaic covenant, which is the Mosaic law that puts it all into words. And that's going to last several thousand years until Jesus comes and we get the new covenant through the blood of Jesus, right? So we have plans. From Noah to Abraham to David to Jesus to the Holy Spirit now, we have a plan. But this is what happens when there isn't one. And that's the time before Noah. And things go way wrong in a way that can explain everything we want to explain. If we want to talk about horror movies, if we want to talk about giants or, Hercules or Gilgamesh or anything we want to talk about, we have the ability to do that in the beginning of chapter 6 of Genesis, because it says some very big, very crazy stuff. These were the mighty men of old, the men of renown. What does that mean? Does that mean Hercules and Gilgamesh? Sounds like that to me, but you tell me. But look into Genesis 6 before next time, and we're going to deal with the Nephilim next time. So there we are. Things are going horribly wrong real quick, and these guys are living a really long time. So we would hope that they would be able to control the situation. If somebody's living 900 years, that's the great-grandson of Seth, we would hope that he would be able to control the situation a little bit and keep all hell from breaking loose, literally. But they don't. And whether it's, what he was mentioning about Enosh, things starting to go south, with Enosh, that's pretty likely. The further you get away from Eden, the harder it is going to be to understand that connection to God. Remember how we talked about it when we were first talking about Adam and Eve, and we're talking about how God told Adam not to eat? Maybe he didn't tell Eve, and maybe Eve wasn't that clear on it. Remember, we talked about that, right? At least we said maybe, people were talking about that in the group, how it says he told Adam, maybe he didn't tell Eve exactly, right? Well, the further you get from, it's like a game of telephone, the further away you get from God saying something. So you have Eden, so Adam gets it, right? And Eve get it, and they have Cain and Abel, and, Cain goes awry, but I'm sure they could express to Seth how awesome Eden was and who God is. And things like that continue, and Cain should know, because Cain's talking to God directly, right? So he should know. But the further away you get, the harder that's going to be to maintain. Pretty soon your great-grandkids are like, I don't understand what went into all this. Why would I respect it? For more on that, see Paris Hilton, right? So Paris Hilton's grandfather creates the only hotel chain that survived the Great Depression, the greatest hotelier in history. I don't know if you've paid attention to Paris, but she's not that guy. Okay? She's not that. She's not that smart. She's not that person, right? Her parents are. Her mom is really smart. Her parents' generation are controlling the Hilton Corporation and trying to maintain it, and they're growing it even bigger. Conrad Hilton, his kids are real close. His grandkids, not so much. Are Paris Hilton's kids going to have going to know anything about a hotel? No. Except that's where you hide the hidden camera to make your sex tape. Are they going to know anything else? No, they're not. Right? They're not going to know anything about anything. Maybe we get a lucky one in the mix, but that's what's happening here. I use a very modern, very simplistic example. But the further away you are from Eden, the more likely you are to go, God, whatever. Because you don't really get it. Even Cain gets it more than his grandson. Even he was the first murderer or whatever, but he talked to God directly. He knows God is real. He talked to him directly. He didn't have any questions. But when he tells that story to his grandkids, grandson's like, granddad's a little wacky. After all, he's like 900. He's probably a little senile. Maybe you do go senile at 80 or 90 and spend 800 years just crazy. Like you're the weirdo in the old age home for 800 years. I doubt it. I hope not. That would be really, really bad, right? It says they keep having sons and daughters after 150 plus years. So it says we keep having lots of sons and daughters. So we got to believe that they're in healthy adult status, human health, for a period of hundreds and hundreds of years at least, which is really unusual. So anyway, I'm just dealing with the text the best that I can, right? And it says some crazy stuff. All these guys are living 900 years. And I think about how you might have a city named after the guy's kid. Why? Because this guy's living hundreds of years, and his kids live in hundreds of years. The amount of power, wealth, knowledge that he can amass, the armies he can put together, and that. What if everyone else is dying at 80 or 90 or 50, and you're watching this guy live 200 or 300 years? We don't have a Bible giving us the story of the common man who's not a believer, because this is the story of God's people and how they deal with God and who God is. But if we stepped outside for a second and imagined a random Elamite and Cain, And let's say random Elamites live 50 years or 100 years, and Cain lives 800, 900 years or whatever. I mean, you're going to revere this person as God, if not king, or whatever you want to call him. But this is going to be very unusual in the world. They're going to know those people. They're going to write about them. They're going to subjugate. They'll be subjugated to them one way or the other. If this continues through Noah, it's no wonder they explain these parts of the world as being run by Noah's kids and grandkids, because they would be running the show. Does that make sense? I know I'm kind of out there a little bit, but it's just the text, and it says over and over again, this guy lives 900 years. We never met anybody that lived over 120, right? We're not going to. So this makes these people super special. Even 4,000, 5,000 BC, they're super special. In fact, they're probably more special then, because so many people are dying so fast from so many random things. And I like this sort of God gift idea that he was touching on, right? Where God kind of gave them, since God gave them the power to name the animals and rule over the animals and rule over the earth, they kind of have that aura. So like God power aura. I mean, I don't know if it's anything more than that.
The beasts weren't made in God's image. The only thing made in God's image was man.
Right. And so everything else would recognize that, which I think is just awesome. But that, it's, I mean, you can walk through a rice paddy right now and get killed real quick by a snake, right? So what happened? You know what I mean? Cobras don't run from us. Lions don't run from us, right?
Yeah. God made man in his own image, and God is spirit. Then that aura makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. But since we're getting heavily theological, I want to know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
Yes.
We talked about that last week, and I think we
decided that if you're in camp one, they didn't. And if you're in camp two, that they did. And if you're metaphorical, then they had metaphorical belly buttons.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Man, oh man. It's so exciting to figure out. I mean, no matter what, this is bizarre and interesting stories about all this beginning of the people of God. This is the lineage of Noah and Abraham and Jesus and David and all of that. This is the origin of the Bible. Now, if it's just the origin of the Bible and just the Bible, the people of the Bible, people of God, that's fine. If it's all people on the planet, that's also fine. But it's beautiful to be able to see that far back and kind of figure out what does that look like and why. And, you know, I think it's just fascinating. And I can understand why. The philosophical concept at the beginning of Genesis 6, which we're going to talk about next time, how does this work? Angels or fallen angels or whatever it is, and sons of men, daughters of men, sons of God, how does this work? And are these people so beautiful to them because of that, right? In made in God's image, so that spirit, right? That power that's in God's image. Is that what is so attractive? If you were an angel and you were with God, God's the most attractive thing in the universe. That's the creator of everything. That's like the coolest thing ever. If there was a people over here made in his image, they would be pretty attractive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, we're, you know, a little out there, but something is attracting this. And we also need to try to figure out if it stopped, and if so, how and why? Because we're hoping that stopped back then, right? That stopped. God stopped it somehow. We're pretty sure it's not happening right now. And if it is, that's really scary. So we don't want to talk about that, okay? We don't want to. That is a whole new horror movie series that we don't want to get into, okay? But something happens here that we're going to talk about next time. But we can wrap it up for now and get on with it. Thank you guys so much for coming. And man, I know there's a lot to think about. But if you figure something out for yourself or come down on a certain side for a certain reason, express that next time. Say, hey, I've been thinking about this idea about blah, 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 and I really think, you know, blah, blah, blah. Express yourself, because like I said, I'm not getting 100% solid answers. And I think it's because we're supposed to be talking about it. I think it's something that we're supposed to be considering and debating and discussing and praying about, and it's supposed to be sucking us into the Word and drawing us closer to God. that's why there's these mysteries or these interesting ideas or these question marks. You know, we have to ask these things because it shows us stuff about God. Like we talk about the idea of God saying, hey, where are you guys at in the Garden of Eden, right? He knows where they're at. Or, hey, what did you do, Cain? Right? He knows. But what is he doing? He's giving them a chance to come clean. We're getting a little view into the heart of God. He's giving them a chance to tell the truth, a chance to come clean with them, to get right with them. He likes to give people those chances over and over and over again. For more on that, see the rest of the Old Testament. And then see all the New Testament. And then see all of Revelation, where God gives you chance after chance. He wants everybody to be with him, to be close to him, to get it. He wants everybody, right? There's not wasted humans. There's not like a bunch of people running around that he's like, eh, you know, whatever. The guys from New Zealand, they're too crazy. That's not God. God wants everybody. He made people for a reason, right? To be in community with him. So he wants everybody. So he keeps giving people choices. So we talk about those question marks, but it's not because we have questions or think there's errors or think it's weird. It's because it draws us in, and it draws us closer to the heart of God. Why is he doing what he's doing? What's really going on? And right now the current question on the table is, why are all these guys living 900 years? What's really going on, right? Because this is after Eden, but before the flood, what's really going on? You know, and we have this interaction at the beginning of Genesis 6, which may give us some clues as to how crazy things could be prior to this flood. So we'll talk about that next time.
Well, the answer to the question I asked years ago was they had to live that long to populate the earth.
Right. So this is like pragmatic. If you wanted to be like a pragmatic classical traditionalist and you wanted to say Adam and Eve are the first two people, how would you accomplish the earth? And the answer would be these extremely long lives and tons of things. And you say, well, genetically, blah, 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 but that doesn't matter. God can violate the rules. He can violate the 100-year lifespan by giving you 900 years. So he can violate the genetic rules and let you have 20 kids that intermarry. It doesn't matter. God can do what he wants to do. That's why there's no definitive answers, because God can easily do any of those options. You know, I like to try to mix the science and the archaeology and stuff with it and look at the old languages and try to figure it out, because I think it would be beautiful if all that stuff kind of came together. And I see a lot of it come together like that. A ton. Well, all the information we have, Andy said something, Pastor Nitty said something the other day about how much we know now, how much we've learned. And I would like to believe that being made in the image of God and having those inquisitive minds, that we're learning all these things and that those things are going to match. They're going to bring us close to God. Science keeps discovering stuff that keeps going back to the Bible over and over and over again. They keep finding, you know, this area that looks like there's a city, but for some reason in this area there's a ton of salt for some reason, or this place was burned up, or this place looks like the walls fell down for some reason. They keep finding all this stuff over and over, and it keeps supporting the Bible, and it's just amazing. There's a part coming up that I read an essay on in Genesis 14, which we're getting to in 2 years, and in Genesis 14, I'm just kidding. In Genesis 14, there's this whole kind of going out war thing happening. Well, these non-Christian archaeologists and anthropologists have been describing that. And in one of their essays, the guy actually says, he's not really a Christian or anything, a Bible scholar, he says, this whole, all the evidence we've gathered seems to match the description in Genesis 14 for what was going on at the time. And that blows my mind. You know, when this stuff connects like that, they found a letter written between these two places, and it had a name on it of one of the prophets, and it was like they discovered these letters, and then you go back to the story of that prophet, and there's these city-states, and there's this war going on, and they're sending these letters, and it's just like, and they found it. They found one with his name on it, and it's just so amazing. And there's just thousands of examples of that, where something scientific comes along, and all of a sudden you find this thing, or this thing seems to match. You know, and it's just kind of mind-boggling to me. And so we're really far back But we're starting to see the interconnection of some of this stuff. You read, and I'm not suggesting you go out and do this because it's kind of crazy, but if you read some of the oldest mythology from the cultures of this region, Babylonian, Sumerian, etc., you're going to read these stories that sound like this. They're talking about people that are kind of like these really old super people that live really long. Or they're talking about this flood and this guy who made an ark and stuff. And they talk about that stuff. They don't talk about it as within their culture. They talk about like kind of like witnessing it. And they have their own names for stuff, right? Because they've got a different language. And you're just like, did that guy really just confirm the Noah flood in this story of... And you're like, yeah, it looks like it. And they talk about this kind of stuff, and they talk about the ziggurats and all this stuff. It's just so cool. Anyway, I could go on for basically ever, so I'm going to shut up now. We'll pray. Get out of the cold. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have trouble being quiet because it's so exciting, and I'm just so grateful. Everyone here is so grateful for your word and for the time that you've taken to give us together and in the word and the knowledge and this just drawing us close to you. We're so grateful for this time together and for the ability to come together like this. And we just love you so much. Lord, I want to pray a special prayer of blessing on everyone here, everyone's finances and families and as they travel. I want to pray a special blessing for Karen and Burl, who are usually here, but they're traveling. Keep them safe on their travels. A lot of people running all over the place and a lot of snow and ice, so please protect everyone here. Lord, bless this group of people, this Bible study, our understanding of the Word. Bless this church, protect its leaders, and bless Radiant Church as a whole, and protect the leadership from any and all attacks. We erect a special hedge of protection around our leadership and our church and each individual here to protect them from any and all negativity or attack. Protect them. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this night and protect everyone here as they go forth from here and bring them back safe for our next meeting time. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I think I know why they lived so long.
Okay.
They didn't eat they ate non-GMO
food. No non-GMO food. It was that Monsanto has Satan in it. Yes. There's Satan is in Monsanto. If you just rearrange the word.
That's right. Bit.
No, that is funny.
They ate a lot of Saber-toothed tigers.